Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Liz. I'm a pediatrician, and the title of this talk is A Pilot Study of an Intensive Meditation Intervention for Incarcerated Youth. I did this project during my pediatrics residency training at Stanford, and the thread that really, I think, brings my work together is understanding how we can promote the well-being of very vulnerable youth. And I also have a long-standing meditation practice, and this project was a way to bring those parts of my life together. So I'm going to give you some background on what is known on meditation and incarcerated youth. I'll introduce you to my community partners. We took a community-based participatory research approach to the study, and then we'll go through some of the results of the research study with a treat in the middle. So briefly, meditation can be defined as present moment attention, and there is a small size literature that demonstrates that meditation has health benefits for youth. There are also several prison studies that show that it benefits from meditation for incarcerated adults. There's no published studies, at the time I started the study, there were no published studies on meditation with incarcerated youth. And so we partnered with an organization called the Mind-Body Awareness Project. They're a nonprofit organization in the Bay Area that gives voluntary meditation courses to adolescents in juvenile detention facilities. And one of the things that they wanted out of this partnership was for people to gain, to have more awareness about this work. So I thank you very much for being here today, because this is, your being here and your participating in this talk is the most important thing to them. Our other partner was the local probation department, which MBA has a great relationship with several probation departments across the Bay Area. So in terms of MBA's courses, they offer 10-week meditation courses. So teachers from MBA go into the juvenile detention facilities once a week, and they give 1.5-hour sessions that include about 30 minutes of meditation and 60 minutes of discussion of themes related to meditation. They use the classic Vipassana-style technique. So this is, I'm speaking about sitting meditation and distinguishing from Brandon that was talking about the more movement meditation. And their format is adapted for youth. And one of the beautiful things about MBA is it was actually founded by people who were involved in the juvenile justice system themselves as adolescents and found meditation as a tool to transcend some of the things they were struggling with. So to put it another way, the curriculum is kind of very fresh, and it's in the language that the youth can understand. And then MBA had recently developed a one-day meditation retreat. They boiled down their 10-week curriculum, synthesized it into one day of activity, and at the time that I started meeting with them, they had only delivered it one time, and I said, huh, well, let's see if that's effective, and they were very interested in evaluating the effectiveness of the retreat, so that's where we went with this. But before we move on, I would like to help you experientially understand what MBA does with their youth. So MBA has what they call the signature mindfulness meditation, and so they have various activities of meditation, but they will always bring the youth back to this one passage that they read, and I'm going to read it to you. I invite you to keep your eyes open or closed. It takes about 2 minutes. I invite you all to get in a very comfortable position in your chairs. Let's begin by noticing the posture in the body. Sit with the dignity of a king, sitting up but relaxed. I invite you to keep your feet solid on the ground. That's our foundation. Let's take a few deep breaths. Let's check out how the body feels right now in the present moment. Let's start at the base with our feet. We're going to move through our body like an X-ray. Slowly let your attention and awareness move up through your feet, into your calves, knees, and thighs. Notice any sensations or tension in your leg as a whole. Now let your attention and awareness move to your belly. Moving up through the chest, the lower back, middle, and upper back, into the shoulders, just notice any sensations. At any time, if your mind begins to wander, gently bring your attention and awareness back to the part of the body on which we are focusing. Place your awareness in your fingers, hands, and up the forearms, arms, and into the shoulders. Move your attention into the neck and finally the jaw and all the muscles of the face. This is how the body feels right now. Now just allow your breath to find its natural rhythm. Let the breath breathe you. Notice where you feel the breath the most, where you feel it coming in and out, or the rising and falling of the belly, and post your attention and awareness there. You can't do it wrong. So that's the meditation that MBA will bring their youth back to. Thank you all for participating in that. And I appreciate that you experienced that within your own body. And for a second or at some point in this talk, if you could reflect what it might be like to be an incarcerated youth, a teenage boy hearing this, and I will tell you what they thought about it. To give you a little bit more information about the one-day retreat, there were about 2 hours of meditation time during the retreat. That included sitting meditation, walking meditation, an activity where the youth ate blindfolded. They had a lot to say about that, as well as a meditation on eating chocolate. And then there were games and trust-building activities interspersed. And the youth were taken with probation staff and staff from MBA to a detention, to a retreat center about 2 miles from the detention camp where they were located. So the goal of the study was, it was a pilot study of the one-day meditation retreat. Yeah.
How many hours was the total retreat? You set it up,
sorry. No problem. It was 7 hours. It was between their breakfast and their dinner meal times. And our study sought to evaluate the one-day retreat, and also the overall program, and to gather the youth's experiences with the program. So our sample consisted of 35 incarcerated adolescent males in a Bay Area juvenile detention camp. Their ages ranged from 14 to 18. And we recruited males from people who were enrolled in MBA's voluntary 10-week course. 6 participants were excluded because they left the detention facility prior to administration of the post-test survey. And we had 4 cohorts. 2 cohorts received, we called them the treatment cohorts. They received the one-day retreat plus the 10-week course. And then our control cohorts received just the 10-week course. And there was 16 participants in the treatment cohort and 13 in the control. I might have that backwards, but I can double check that if anyone's interested. In terms of our quantitative data collection, we administered a demographic survey. Youth also completed self-report surveys on well-being, which were administered pre and post, and we examined 4 domains, including mindfulness, self-regulation, impulsivity, and stress. And stress was the perceived stress, Brandon. I think we might have used the same scale. And then we also had an objective behavioral assessment. So this was probation staff on a daily basis awards points to the youth for their good behavior and detracts points for disobedience. So, for example, if a youth shows up to probation camp class on time, they get points added. And probation allowed us to extract those files and analyze them for this study. We also conducted focus groups post-course, and we did this only with the 2 cohorts that had received the one-day intensive, and we basically asked youth to tell us about their experiences with the retreat and the 10-week course and their reflections on personal change. In terms of the socio-demographics, on average, the youth were about 16 years old. You'll note that the majority were Latino, 65%, and essentially our socio-demographics were comparable with the general population of incarcerated youth in this area. In terms of our quantitative results, when we compared the treatment and control results, there were not significant findings. So if you just added the one-day retreat, that wasn't enough to show statistical difference. But when we collapsed the data and looked at treatment, looked at all of the youth pre and post, we saw a statistically significant increase in healthy self-regulation. This was with a paired t-test. Although we didn't find statistically significant differences, the three other scales additionally changed in the psychologically enhancing direction. In terms of the behavioral points, this is a graphical representation to show you basically a support of the null hypothesis. We were not able to demonstrate behavior change. In the qualitative results, we did thematic content analysis of the focus group, which their quotes really just blow me away. I hope you enjoy them. And the most prominent theme that the youth talked about was enhanced well-being. So as one youth said, it gave me a chance in my life to express myself, forgive all those people for things that have happened in my past, And it kind of let me go of some stress I had built up in me. The second theme we called increased self-discipline, and this referred to someone's ability to manage their own emotions or their behaviors. So one you stated, it showed me I could do anything I want to if I discipline myself. Pretty much all you really need to do is discipline yourself, and that just works by meditating. So this quote, just kind of a personal side, I was in residency conducting this study and trying to keep my own meditation practice going and my self-discipline to wake up to my alarm clock, and I kept going back to this quote and to this person. We also observed what we defined as increased social cohesiveness, and this referred to improved dynamics between members of the group. And as one you stated, everybody could relate to the stories, and it made everybody trust. And when I say stories, I really want to emphasize to you what that means to these youth. This means that these youth are sitting in a circle sharing the most painful things that have happened in their life, their struggles. As an aside, one of the activities that MBA does is they have a game where they say, stand up if. So you start with everybody sitting down and they say, stand up if you have an incarcerated parent. Stand up if you've ever witnessed violence. And you can imagine by the end of this game, everyone's standing. So these are the kind of stories that the youth are able to share with each other when they're taken aside and when they're with MBA's instructors. Our fourth theme was expanded self-awareness. And this was referring to the youth vocalizing that they had a broader sense of their self, and this referred to their ability, their belief that they could achieve more than that they saw immediately around them. It also referred to a sense of gratitude or a sense of oneness. And this, of all the themes, this one really blew my mind the most, because what these youth were really speaking to is what sort of the ancient Buddhist philosophers talk about, or what, you know, we commonly say, okay, meditation makes everyone experience oneness, things like that. These are what the youth were coming up with on their own. And these are those highly vulnerable youth that we think of as society's most troubled. I found this incredibly inspiring. So as one you stated, there's more things to life than just the things you do at home and the ordinary things. There's a lot of opportunities out there, and you just got to take advantage of them. Another example of this was we asked the youth about the eating blindfolded activity, because I wanted to be able to come back to MBA and think about how specifically we could refine the curriculum. And one of the youth started talking about how grateful he felt for his eyesight and that he felt a lot of compassion for people who were blind. Our next theme, after I painted this picture for you of the Zen master incarcerated yogis, is resistance to meditation. So one of the great things about working with adolescents is that they're very honest. As one you stated, I didn't like all that sitting down and just keeping my eyes closed. It didn't really help me. At the end, I was still mad at whatever I was mad about. It just wasn't for me. And our last theme was future meditation practice. So this referred to youth spontaneously saying that they would plan to practice meditation in the future, times specifically in their life when they thought it would be useful. So one person stated, I think I'm going to keep on practicing. I'm going to keep on meditating, and whenever I feel stressed or too much pain in my chest, I'm just going to meditate. As a pediatrician, I love this quote because I know that a lot of kids in juvie get treated for things like anxiety and sleep problems. And when I say treated, I mean they get medication for it. So pulling this all together, some limitations of our study include that it wasn't randomized. We had a relatively small sample size. In terms of the behavioral points, there was some subjectivity of the behavioral points in terms of they were assigned by probation staff, and one of my colleagues at MBA will argue that that they are very subjective and based on the kind of the interaction between that probation staff and that youth. And then there also may be an element of self-report bias because we were collecting self-report surveys. I think we can draw some key findings, including that the one-day retreat was feasible. This is a new thing. I actually didn't find anywhere in the meditation literature on children at all where they were talking about implementation of retreats. I also found, we also demonstrated that the intervention was not harmful. And this was something, as a pediatrician, very important for me to assess. I actually had hesitations initially about becoming involved in the study because the literature states that approximately two-thirds of incarcerated adolescent males meet criteria for psychiatric diagnoses. These are also kids that have been exposed to a high level of trauma. So it was very reassuring to me to find that nobody spoke about harm. And our findings suggest that the one-day retreat may be beneficial. In terms of the 10-week course, we also demonstrated that the 10-week course was feasible, not harmful, and we did observe an increase in self-regulation. And this is notable because the inverse of self-regulation is impulsivity, and higher rates of impulsivity have been shown to be correlated with higher rates of recidivism among incarcerated youth. And in terms of the effects on behavior change, we did not find effects, and it's not really clear how meditation affects behavior. It could be that behavior change is too downstream an outcome to be measuring. It could be that the dose of the meditation course was too small, or as I mentioned, it could have been an issue of subjectivity of the data. And in terms of future directions, we met with MBA. When I say we is also MBA, because MBA was part of the research team, but we sat down and talked about this and ways that they might want to refine their curriculum. And MBA is actually thinking about taking this in the direction of offering longer retreats. Their vision is to be able to offer 3-day retreats. And when we asked the youth if that was something that they'd be interested in, the majority of them said yes. In terms of future research specifically for this project, randomized restudies with a larger sample size, I believe, are warranted, as well as longitudinal studies that assess well-being, as well as other critical markers such as academic achievement and recidivism. And a personal note in terms of where I'm going with this, you heard a little bit about my research and how I've kind of jumped around. So currently in my fellowship research, I am looking at protective factors that protect youth against incarceration. And that idea for that really came from working with these kids, because it kind of sounds cheesy, but sitting around doing these focus groups with them, it was like I was looking directly at the light in their eyes, and I see so much potential in these kids. So that's where I'm going. Acknowledgements definitely are deserved for the participating youth. I really appreciate their trust in cooperating with this. Also, San Mateo County Probation, our community partner, the Mind Body Awareness Project, and please tell people about their work. And I'm very grateful to my mentors at Stanford, including Marilyn Winkleby, who is sitting in the audience. And Philippe Golden from the psychology department. This project was funded from a CTSA Steve grant through Stanford Office of Community Health, as well as Lucille Packard Children's Hospital. Thank you. And we'll save questions for the end. And references are up here, and I'm happy to provide more after the talk.